Billy Anderson is an iconic comedian. He is a two-time Emmy Award winner, one of the country's most recognized and adored comics. He was named by Comedy Central as one of 100 greatest stand-up comedians of all time. His career has spanned more than 30 years. He's a best-selling author, star of his own stand-up specials and sitcoms. Billy Anderson will be coming to our region on Sunday, March 18th at 7 o'clock at the Bardavon in Poughkeepsie. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Louie Anderson to the roundtable this morning. Louie, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. I mean, you know, this is the best thing in the world. You know, I need to let people know I'm going to be there because, you know, I don't know how many people will even get me at the airport sometimes to go, I didn't know you were going to be here. And I go, what are you in, living in a basement?
Yeah, people should know. Yeah. People should know that Louie Anderson's in town.
I mean, I think people know. Sometimes people will be like right outside the theater and they'll say, hey, where are you playing? I go, look up. That picture right there, my name, the whole thing.
Do you, is there a sense that you are, having done this for so long, and I think I've seen you, perform maybe half a dozen times over a long period of time. Do you sense now when you go out on stage, are you, and maybe this isn't a word that's not even applicable of being a stand-up comedian, but are you completely comfortable on stage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to be careful not to be too comfortable because I need to be excited about being there just like the audience is. I can't come out there like, you know, hey, I know I'm what am I, a big shot? No, I'm just a human being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You gotta
know your audience and, you know, you gotta have a little talk with yourself before each show saying, hey, now bring it, you know, do a good job. Don't goof around, you know? Do you have clean underwear on? Get going. Let's get this thing going.
Is it the same impetus that got you on stage in the first place? I mean, of that wanting to perform, that wanting to people make people laugh?
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, I did the first thing on a dare, so people don't always know that. You know, I wasn't going to be extended. I wanted to be president, which I realize now I could have been. And But no, I was never going to be a stand-up comic. A friend of mine dared me to go on stage, and I took him up on it, and I did it. And when I got up there, I go, oh, this would be a good job.
Yeah.
This would be a good job to do, right? And that's the real truth. And that's in Minneapolis in 1978, October 10th, coming up, you know, to my 40th year.
And
which to me is amazing. I'm really proud of that.
Well, absolutely. Well, longevity, right? That's the key to the business, isn't it? I mean, if you got that, that's the golden ticket.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't even know your. I mean, yes, that's exactly right. Because I don't know how long you've been doing what you're doing, but you're thankful every day that you have a job that, you know, people still want to listen to you, still want to hear you.
Right.
Because the business changes so much, you know, people don't realize. I don't think people realize how many people they don't see anymore, you know, that they used to see. So I always think of that. There's lots of great comedians who unfortunately didn't have the opportunities I had. And so I always feel very thankful and grateful.
Tell me the story of the influence that Henny Youngman had on your career.
Well, you know, I met Henny at the Midwest Comedy Competition, the first annual and the only one, I think, that there ever was. But he was one of the judges. And I was one of the contestants. I was one of 10 that made it into the contest. And then we hit it off. And he said, I came in third. He said, a guy who sang, did it, singing impressions, and a guy who juggled fire. They were first and second. And when I got my award, I said, I'm just glad there wasn't an accordion player in the group. And Henny said, I should have won. He when he gave me the thing, he goes, you should have won. You were the best. And so that was a nice high praise coming from someone, you know, like him. And then we became friends, and I wrote for him. And, you know, I knew him my whole, you know, until he left this world. I stayed friends with him. He was a wonderful person.
What fascinates me about that story of what a wonderful bridge between an old established comic and what you coming up in the 80s, a new breed, and what a wonderful bridge to that.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of nice. It's like, hey, I suppose the thing that's similar is sports figures. You know, the guy who was the home run guy, or the guy who was the great second baseman, or, you know, shortstop. And, you know, you're starting your career in baseball, and they, you know, pull you aside and say, hey, you know, good job. And they might even say, hey, try this. Or, you know, there's something, there's a fellowship among comedians. It's like sports. It's a small club, you know.
As part of that small club and having done it for so long, are you, looking back on it, are you happy and pleased with the trajectory that your career has taken, in the sense of what you've been able to do, whether it be sitcoms, that you've been able to stay on stage, that you've been able to do so many different things?
Yes, I'm thrilled, to be honest with you. I'm thankful. I'm, you know, and as you get older, Joe, you get thankful, you know, you get grateful, you know, because you realize the gravitas of life, and you go, wait, you know, here I am. I'm still doing it. I'm still enjoying it. And people want to see me. And I have lots of different kinds of fans. You know, I just feel very, you know, great. I feel great about all of it. And I wish, of course, in hindsight, you always think, oh, well, if I would have done this. But you know what? How can I even say that? This is my 40th year. I've done everything. I've done so many things, and I'm still doing it. I just finished a new special called Big Underwear that'll be out on Netflix and DirecTV. And I don't know. They have so many platforms now. I think I'm on like 100 things. But and so I'll be, you know, I had so much fun doing that special. I just finished season 3 of Baskets, and I just did a new book that's coming out on Mother's Day called Hey Mom. You can go to HeyMomTheBook.com or LouieBook.com and get an advanced copy. But this book, you know, is all about me playing my mother character, and it's letters to my mother, to the great beyond, you know, because I talk to her all the time. I don't know. I talk to her. I go, hey, Mom, how you doing, you know? Even though she's not here, she's a big part of my life. Same with my dad.
Right.
And, my family members who are gone. Life has, you know, been so good to me. And so to answer your question, very grateful, very thankful, super happy.
I was going to ask you, because I think one of your first books, if not the first book, was Dear Dad, Letters from an Adult Child. And these were letters from you to your late father. How is it different in tone than what you are saying in this book to your mother?
Well, the first one is a, you know, like, hey, Dad, what happened between us? And the second one is a celebration of my mom's life. And you know, an acknowledgement, especially after playing a woman and playing a mother figure, realizing how much more I should have appreciated my mom and how great she really was and how much she really did for me and all my brothers and sisters. I mean, for golly, I mean, I just can't tell you how much I learned. Like, I had no idea how much moms really do. I always say in all interviews, call your mom, you know, let her know how much you appreciate all the stuff she did for you. Or drop by and bring her something, or, you know, take her for a coffee or lunch or something, because, man, you don't realize it. You take it for granted. They're there. There's lots of stuff in between you, some good, some bad. But still, at the end of the day, they really did, I think for the most part, have your best interest in their heart, and gave up maybe their life so that you would have a better life.
And in this way, your act really hasn't changed over all these years, because there was always, when you were talking about your family, there was always a deep love that came through in your comedy, even in the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know it back then. You know, it's one of those things, like, you know, like, I was really good at doing these jokes, and I think I conveyed all those things. But then, you know, you realize just what you have. And I always tell people, you know, if you're mad at your family or, you know, you got something, like, give them a call. Don't be afraid to say, hey, you know, what's going on? Be that person that's grateful for what they have. And so, yeah, thank you very much, Joe. I do really think a lot about my family when I do my act.
And we feel as an audience, and certainly of an audience that has followed you for a long time, that we know them and we know you better because of the stories that you tell us, which obviously is through your lens, through your view, and through a comedic one. But it still gives us, I think, a fairly full picture.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, I hope that it's a negative or a photo that ends up having a similar image that you would portray in your family or you feel about your family. I hope I'm knocking on a door that's easily open for you and that brings back memories of your childhood and the stuff you want to do and you want to reach for. And, you know, I just tell people, you know, do the things you want to do, reach out to the people you want to reach out to, and have some fun with your life. It's easy to say and hard to do, so I'm not preaching. I'm just saying, for me, it took me a long time. I'm so stubborn that I just am appreciating things more and more.
Before we end here, tell us a little bit about, you just mentioned that the season 3 of Baskets, what that's been like, that role you take on the role. Did you have any idea that it would lead to what it's become, number one, and number two, the accolades, the Emmys that you've gotten as a result?
I guess really the thing I'll say that is most about this show is, as this character grows, I've grown in my life. So that is the best part about this. I have tried to emulate the part I'm playing, you know, with taking better care of myself as the character is, having more fun with my life and doing things that aren't easy to do, but, you know, expanding my horizons. And so, you know, that's been the best part about the part of playing Christine Baskets. I hope that I'm doing what I'm playing, because that's my goal. I'm trying to be a better, more fun and more productive and healthier person. And I think a lot of people aspire to that, but I am trying to do it.
Well, Louie Anderson will be at the Bardavon in Poughkeepsie on Sunday, the 18th of March at 7 o'clock. And you can find out more information by going to bardavon.org, bardavon.org. You can also find Louie in your bookstore. That's going to be coming up on the 3rd of April. The new book is called Hey Mom, Stories for My Mother, But You Can Read Them Too. Louie Anderson, it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for spending time with us, and we look forward to having you in the region.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Again, Louie Anderson will be at the Bardavon in Poughkeepsie on Sunday, the 18th of March at 7 o'clock. You can find out more information by going to bardavon.org, bardavon.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.